Hey, I'm Jason Warner Smith. I played Gavin on AMC's The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Golden Spiral Media. Don't turn it off.
Fear, The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 43, No One's Gone Review.
Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of Fear the Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278. Or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors. Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And Brian is traveling, as some may know, so he possibly might join us again tonight, but if he does, you know, we'll just, like, get him in here for wherever, what spot we're at, and we'll just continue on from there. And into that, all right, we'll be covering Season 4, Episode 8, No One's Gone. It was written by Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg. And directed by Michael E. Satrazimus. All right, and now let's get into our ratings. And how about, Mark, you go with yours first.
I give this 8 out of 10 kimchi noodles.
And the more I watched it, the more my rating went up. And so right now, it's a 9.5 oodles of time. All right, now we have our listeners' ratings. And Mark, you want to go with the first?
Yes, Lara Willie Swinks gives it 9 out of 10 reconciliatory kimchi noodles for the episode. Big fat goose egg. 0 out of 10, or maybe I should give them 10 punches to the cooch to AMC. Scott Gimple for letting go of an amazing older strong female lead in Madison Clark and basically throwing out all the last 3 seasons.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was not happy myself.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the same spot. All right. Well, our next listener, Glennis Goltz, she says 10 out of 10 Madison's walking off Fear the Walking Dead to Stubs of Deadwood or Crispy Creepers. And Cheryl Fox gives it a 9 out of 10 Emily Bird stories from Madison.
Claire Lang Redderer gives it, so I love this episode, I would give it 9 out of 10 cups of O kimchi.
And Deanna Patterson, she says, wow, was my initial first reaction. I rate this episode 9 out of 10. Where the hell is Daniel? Not one peek of Daniel in this whole season.
Yeah, we miss Daniel Salazar. Mm-hmm. I really do, but whether or not he comes back into play is questionable.
Very, very much so. Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, that was all of our listeners' ratings. And so next is Awesome Sauce. Awesome Sauce! All right. Our first Awesome Sauce, you want to take that one?
Sure. Cheryl Fox says, has Morgan actually decided to stay with John? He made sure we knew he was staying. Oh, and I knew that Naomi wasn't her real name.
And Laura Willie Swink, she says, Madison's and Al's interview exchange. And Madison's story about Wilhelmina. Madison's love and self-sacrifice for her family. Some really haunting and beautiful scenes as Madison led the walkers to her death. And Glennis Goltz, she's like, 1, the cold open between Al and Madison and trying to work out for myself which timeline it was in. Oh, damn, it's before. That doesn't bode well for Madison's well-being. And shout out to The Walking Dead with the Walker early warning system, which was The Walking Dead Season 4 with Maggie, Bob, and Sasha, and also The Claimers when Daryl joined them for a stint. 2, Morgan talking down Alicia to convince her to halt her current violent path, and the reference to Rick's words about being with people again. Makes me wonder if Morgan will return in time to The Walking Dead one of these days before, see what I did there? Rick disappears off the face of The Walking Dead Earth. And 3, Alicia's lead up to the discovery of the Amina tape and the noodle connection linking in Al, Alicia, Luciana, Strand, and Nick in the before and now timeline, and the heart-wrenching discovery of what happened to Madison. And 4, John Dory surviving and so cutely announcing June in his favorite, Brian, cue the music, ready.
Aww.
All right, you want to take the next one?
Claire Lang Redderer gives it, awesome sauce would be Morgan. I love Fear the Walking Dead Morgan. He is turning over a new leaf, and I'm excited to see yet another new side of him. Lenny James continues to give an amazing and layered performance. It's so beautiful to watch all the realizations Morgan has been having about himself in this new world. Additional awesome sauce would be the slow motion flashbacks. This is one time in the Walking Dead world where I thought slow-mo was done well and made sense. It was a good way to show what we've all been waiting to see.
I would have to agree with that too. We've seen that done before, you know, in the parent show, and it seemed like it was a little too artsy, you know, like whatever, but this time I think I actually made an impact, which was nice.
It was a different way of filming, and I liked the idea. It gave a new perspective, and they've done it, like you said, in the parent show. But the, you know, somebody had brought up something about the writing. And I'll bring that up later in our other talks, but it sounded similar to another show.
Okay. All right. Well, then that will lead me to Deanna Patterson's awesome sauce, and hers was the new character, John Dory. Love him. I think
we all do.
We agree. All right. Well, that was all our listeners' feedback or awesome sauce. So do you want to go with yours?
Sure. My awesome sauce would be the standoff between Alicia and Althea. It showed a strength in what they wanted to do. The interaction between Althea and Madison when Al was interviewing Madison, it gave a perspective of what Madison wanted for her kids. The other point would be Morgan being the voice of reason to Alicia. But will this go far with her, and will she be another casualty of the Clark family in the future? So, as we all seen now, Morgan is the voice of reason, some sort of hope, this moral compass. Will we see the end of Morgan? I hope not. Yeah. I really don't want to see Morgan go. But then again, will he put her in a path, Alicia, in a path where she's going to be the moral compass and then she goes. The coming attractions that we got a sneak peek of from Talking Dead showed Strand drunk as Morgan showed up. So obviously we might see Strand more, which I enjoy because he's an interesting character. He always captivated me from the first season. Everybody hated him, and then it eventually grew on them. Same thing with Madison at certain points.
Yeah.
No. But, you know, I like the idea of a female lead in the show, and with them taking her away, it was just really upsetting.
Yeah. No, it's right there with you. I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, I guess we do kind of now expect that there's going to be a lot of, not necessarily, I mean, tension, but like, you know, people are just not going to probably be holding it together. Because they're going to be mourning, and that's, you know, it's like we just lost Madison, who was really kind of their guidepost, and like just that kept them together, or like, so we'll just have to see. That was into my awesome sauce, because I'm like, I pretty much agree with like pretty much everyone's comments. It's like, the exchange between Madison and Athea, and it was just being able to get to see like so much more of an insight into Madison's love for her kids, and then like the story of the bird, and to see Madison and that pain in her eyes. Like, she was trying to do everything she could to make this apocalypse like survivable for not only just, you know, her kids, but for everybody she cared about. And the whole episode really ended up turning into being like, it was like my awesome sauce and sad sauce, obviously, but yeah. You know, it's just so many of these episodes I've kind of like, oh, I like this part, oh, I kind of, it was okay, you know, like I went with it. To the more I watched it, the more this episode just really, like, yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
It was enjoyable, I do agree, but with the way they went about it over the course of the first half of the season really didn't give me any inkling of hope of the writing structure. I'm hoping that after the mid-season finale, now that it's passed, they move on with a new story. That would be the only way. But the way they handled the whole Madison departure was, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, true. I just, it's kind of like, I guess once we've got through it all, and, you know, we now obviously know, like, the total facts and just, like, how it all, you know, I don't know, how it all just is now come to be, and this is what happened, and blah, blah, blah. But it's, like, it does make me want to kind of go back and rewatch just to knowing, like, to see if I catch on anything, to see if, yeah, there were, I mean, there were a lot of annoying things.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. So, it's, like, it does kind of make me want to go back and rewatch a lot of it just to kind of see if I can catch anything of like understanding of what, why they were doing this. But in the end, I also agree, now that we've done this, let's move on, and they better have a really good story for the second half, because I'll go into it later. But
yeah, well, you know, like I stated last week, Gimplegate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then that should lead us into our weak sauce.
Yes.
You're worthless and weak.
All right. Claire Lang Redder says lame sauce would be Alicia. In general, I don't like her character, and I like her even less now. It wasn't believable that she would turn so harshly on Morgan, John, and Al. Even her reasons for trying to kill Naomi, Laura, who we now finally know as June, were pretty weak.
I will do Lara Willie Swank. Lara states, the decision on AMC's part to write off the show lead, Madison, became such an interesting character last season. I was really looking forward to hear her character's progression, her friendship with Strand, and how she would interact with Morgan. All wonderful things that we're never going to see and will never see again. Which I agree with. they, you know, her and Strand had a, like, an odd relationship. Mm-hmm. And I always liked it. It was for the fact that she saw something in Strand that was so cool that she could just hang out with him when they got drunk. And, you know, and that was like, even though that was the premise, but she saw something in him that she appreciated and liked. And she, I think she saw him almost as family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the fact that even Lenny James himself stated on the Talking Dead about, not able to work with Kim Dickens. That showed a lot of respect for her as an actress, actor, and, you know, wanting that when he came on the show, and it just never happened. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad. I wish it did, you know, but obviously we're not going to see that. The only thing we got to see her and the only person we saw her interact really with was Althea. That was the only person that we saw her interact with, other than the regular group.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I think we'll go into that later at the end, because I had some. That was one of the things that did stick out to me in the Talking Dead was Lenny James saying, like, just about her. So,
yeah.
All right, and then our next listener's weak sauce comes from Cheryl Fox, and she says that there wasn't another way out of the stadium. Seriously? Horrible.
There was no back door.
Yeah.
Couldn't give him the slip.
Just like they didn't have
Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah. Well, just like they didn't have a second entrance that they could, like Alicia and them could have just drove their car into instead of getting stuck with all the walkers.
Yeah.
It's like, it just seems would have been obvious. All right. Glennis Gold says, not really weak sauce, just wondering why so much misguided hate towards Naomi by Alicia, when Naomi wasn't even responsible for Madison's death at all. Even taken into consideration, she joined the Vultures after the fact. Alicia's grief taking over sane reasoning.
Dieta Patterson. Weak sauce, the whole time jump from the last season after the dam exploded to everybody living happily at the baseball field, and then backward storytelling begins. Grumpy face, grumpy face. And I do agree. We never got an answer. How did they get there? What happened? How did they build this place, really? All we saw was, in this episode, that Madison was able to get the kimchi noodles from Althea, and then eventually they all came together, and I guess Nick was in a bad place. And they were able to move in, and she just points kind of like the prison back in the day in the Prime show. Yeah, and they were able to go to that, but we never got that whole story. So, you know, it's one of those things of in storytelling in this show or any other show where they just leave it up to our own imaginations.
That's pretty much all that we can really do.
Exactly.
I would agree though that it is weak, but I guess we just have to move on.
keep moving forward.
Yep. All right, well, that was the last of our listeners' weak sauce. My weak sauce, which has kind of been my weak sauce for a while, is Charlie. Like, why does she get a pass? Like, she's like, oh, sorry, my bad. I killed your brother, destroyed your home, and basically killed your mother. Oh, can I have another bowl of kimchi? I just seeing her with them still at the very end, it bugs the heck out of me. and it's just weak because it's like there's no reason that she should still be there. Anyways. Not that I'm wishing anything bad towards children. I would not have any problems. And then the back half, something happens to her and she's gone.
So you're basically saying it's thought slipped my head, but I'm thinking it's like bad juju. You know, it's like keep the kid around and it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like. What comes around goes around. You did something wrong. It's going to happen to you.
Yeah, no, she's going to be a pox on all their houses just because, like, she totally did everything bad against you. And then, like, that just throws in another weak sauce was just why was Alicia so, like, wanting to kill Naomi? When Charlie did more bad things to her than I felt like Naomi, but anyways, you know, that's something that may get worked. Oh, you know, I think at the end they kind of resolved that, you know, with Strand saying it's all like, oh, you just had to do what you had to do. And she gets like, oh, sorry, we just misunderstood. And to Charlie just sitting there going, oh, no, Mel. Oh, remember Mel? Mel, that really cool guy. You know, he saved me. He saved my life. Like, great. Like, you don't get any kimchi tonight.
And he had really good fashion sense.
The more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm getting angry about just her still being there. All right. Go on with yours.
He had those parachute pants. All right, my weak sauce would be AMC getting rid of the one person that had been the strength of the show from the beginning. Madison was weak at times with her impulses over the past few seasons, but there was a goal and a strength. Her actions weren't great at times, but getting rid of a prime character only creates a little bit of chaos. Who will be the new lead? Alicia? Strand? Or Morgan? Where are they going with this? It's a a big question mark on this whole thing. And with, like, kind of what we mentioned last week with the news of Andrew Lincoln leaving the Prime show and also Lauren Cohan, where is this going? So we're in no man's land right now, mm-hmm. and thinking on our own, and AMC is not giving any sort of real answers. Madison's came out of the blue, and apparently they wrote this in probably about... They ended filming, I would say, come winter, and they started in September, I'm assuming. So, you know, it's really strange and odd because now both shows are in chaos.
Mm-hmm.
and the story is going to go, and obviously this whole season has already been written and, filmed. So hopefully they have something good in line for us, but, I'm hoping, something goes well with the Prime show as well.
I know that's what and I guess we can talk about it later, but that's a mm-hmm. big worry of mine. It's just where are we headed? anyways, well, that was all the weak sauce. So next we go on to our sad sauce.
Aww. Lara Willie Swink says, I got choked up when Alicia broke down with Morgan. And again, after seeing Nick and Madison embrace when she found them all at the hotel. When Madison took her suicide stance, I lost it when I heard Alicia over the walkie saying, Mom, as a mom, it killed me, and I'll admit it, I couldn't stop the waterworks.
Aww. We all heard probably there sometime. And Cheryl Fox, she says, watching The Talking Dead and hearing that Kim Dickens didn't want to leave and that this podcast will be over until August, except I believe it will be good for Brian so he can get settled in Florida.
Yes, thanks, Cheryl. Yeah, he does need to get settled in Florida. Hopefully by then we'll have a little bit of time before the Prime show chaos that happens in October.
Claire Lang Redderer, sad sauce with seeing Madison go. I haven't always loved her character, but the more I've watched her, the more I've realized that Kim Dickens has really given an understated and strong performance, and Madison, although boring sometimes, is quite believable. I would have much rather seen Alicia and Luciana go rather than Nick and Madison, but they didn't ask me. This leads me to my next point. If John and Morgan are the future of the show, along with June, Al, and Strand, I can say goodbye to those who we've lost this season. I can put up with annoying Alicia and boring Luciana, and I can't say enough about how much I love John. He's just memorizing to watch on screen, and he brings out the best in everyone, especially Morgan. I can't wait to see more of this budding mojo bromance. Fear the Walking Dead hasn't just given us one new strong character, but four. I have never been so excited for Fear. See you in August. And we'll see you in August as well. All right, that was the last of our listeners' sad sauce, so now it's ours. Mark, you want to go with your first?
Yeah, the most obvious. Madison dead at the end. The show is going on in a new path like the Prime show, so it's so sad that we have to part ways with characters that we loved. Obviously, we don't see... Look at the list. There's so many of from the first season till now that we've lost.
Yeah.
And mind you, all we got is Strand, Alicia, and Luciana.
Yeah.
And honestly, Luciana is such a C-roll character. I gave her hope for a while, and then I just... One are gone. I'd be glad to be stuck with like Strand and Alicia, and I'm hoping that they last. You know, Alicia has changed. A lot of people don't like Alicia. I started seeing this change in Alicia over the past two seasons. Well, season and a half, I would say. The third season made a big change for her.
Yeah.
And then Strand, well, he's an ongoing amalgam. He's so strange, so odd, and, you know, with his personality. But he's very straightforward of who he is at times. So he'll come out like when he wanted to have that relationship with that guy. Mm-hmm. And he explained his reasons why he didn't want to. And he actually tried to convey it to that gentleman. And then him showing his relationship with, when they were in Mexico.
Yeah, that.
And how it really devastated him. And then his manipulative, you know, world and everything. So the characters grasp you. But Alicia, she came out and she was just like cocky 17-year-old. Now she's probably 20 in comparison to what the, with the time jump and everything. So now she's 20 and, she's independent at this point because, sorry, Mama Bear's not there anymore and too soon. Yeah, it is. So, you know, Madison's not there to, you know, pull the reins and say, hey, stop. And, you know, but Morgan's there being kind of the moral compass now. So, hopefully this will grow the character, but I just hope they don't dispatch the original cast too soon. Hopefully not within one season.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Honestly, the new characters we have are great. I love that Morgan's from the Prime show and he's here and he's changing himself because mm-hmm. we saw that in a few words when he was talking to John and how John he said that John saved him. Then him saving John and John, you know, in the beginning you and I both thought, "Oh wow, there's something wrong with him." Now he's coming through as like he's a possibility of somebody who could lead, yes, but I still think he still hangs on the love of Laura, Naomi slash June.
the many named woman.
Many named woman. How many other names is she going to come up with? I don't know. I was like, but you know, and then we have her and she's an interesting character because, you know, at the very end of this episode, we hear her story of what happened at the Diamond. So obviously now we are starting to see there, like I've always said before, there's always three sides of any story. There's one person's side, the opposing person's side, and then there's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three points. And the third point of like the truth being, how does the world see it being, you know, biased. They could just look at it and say, okay. But you have those two people's versions. So who knows what story is true? Who knows what story is right? But obviously as us, the viewer, we listen and watch what's going on and we only get certain clips of what happened.
Right.
So obviously we got to see that she tried to go in from what they showed us with the slow-mo when they were all coming out of the Diamond and she was trying to stop them and she was trying to go back in.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, that's what we will have to see and expect that here we are in the coming into the, you know, second half that, you know, we'll see what this all ends up doing or like what direction they go and like we can talk about it, you know, later because I know there's a bunch of stuff that I kind of put in there after watching the Talking Dead and then
sure
just so and then my sad sauce though, you know, with like everybody else was the loss of Madison, but there was also the sad part of just how it in the end, like she lost everything that she was trying to prevent. And like she couldn't protect her children. She lost her home she built for them. And then her final sacrifice that just ended sending everyone scattered into the wind. And it was just like, I just felt so bad, especially when she was talking to Al, you know, and giving her story. And like you saw how much like the most important thing to her in all of this was to protect her children, to just, you know, make a home that was going to keep them from having to be, you know, like the vultures or anybody, you know, just trying to survive and then you know, dispatch anybody you come across, like, you know, not trying to like help or, you know, do anything good for people. And she tried so hard to always do that. And, you know, we saw that all the way from season one. She just, she wanted to protect them so bad. And then just to see in the final end that, you know, she had to sacrifice herself just to give them a chance. And I don't know. That was just, to me, it was just so, so sad. anyways, that was my sad sauce. I could go on and I don't want to start crying.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was the rest, or that was our sad sauce. So next is the what sauce.
What?
All right, Mark, you want to go with our first listener's what sauce?
Yes, that would be Glennis Galtz. Hope Fear the Walking Dead keeps Strand, J.D. Morgan, and June on ongoing forward. Otherwise, they'll have to rename the show Walking Teen / 20 / 30-somethings. Which is funny. But don't get me wrong, Alicia, Al, and Charlie are all strong characters and easy to relate to. But we do need more of the balanced storytelling that we've got up to now. That illustrates that age doesn't really factor in on what decisions right or wrong are made by The Walking Dead's so-called leaders and their groups. Diversity of characters is always good for the story to get different points of views. P.S. By the way, that Overkill trailer introducing the four characters is excellent. Or I should say four times characters is excellent. Wonder what the gameplay will finally look like. I wouldn't mind having some of those characters get introduced into either The Walking Dead or Fear the Walking Dead shows. I guess Scott Gimple is starting to make waves now as Overwatch of the Walking Dead universe. I actually got to see the sneak peek, and I'm very interested in that game as well. But I also have to mention Melissa, who does Clementine's voice and the Telltales, they're not looking to incorporate those characters, even though it's part of Skybound. But there's a lot of negotiation that has to go in because it's not part of the comic, so they wouldn't be able to. So it's kind of a weird situation. A lot of people want that, and I don't blame them. There was actually a character, Glenn, who was a pizza delivery driver in the original Telltales game. And looked a lot like Glenn, had the hat and everything else. And then he said he had to get back to somewhere in Atlanta. But whether or not they'll incorporate that into the shows, I'm thinking not. I would love it, but I don't think it's going to happen. But I do anticipate this game just as much as you, Glennis.
All right. Well, that was all of our listeners' what sauce. I know you had some what sauce, Mark. And then I kind of, one of your comments, whatever, I didn't ever even catch until like pretty much earlier today, when I saw it online. So, do you want to just go straight into yours?
And then I'll do my what sauce.
Okay.
All right, everybody. What sauce? My what sauce is, all this time Naomi / Laura is really June. And they oddly enough reveal her name, her real name, within the month of June.
Coincidence?
Yes! I was just like, oh, I thought of that. I was like, wait a minute, it's June. She says her name is June. And then John goes, that's my favorite month. I thought that was pretty cool, but I thought it was funny itself. And then I believe that the Jenna Elfman tweeted that as well too. And I gave her kudos and sent back a reply, and she laughed. I'm pretty sure I didn't get a response to that laugh. Madison leading the burnt walkers into the diamond in the depths there, like attracting a T-Rex from Jurassic Park. What the what?
I totally kind of felt the same way too.
I'm funny. Like, the first thing I thought was like, is she Jeff Goldblum? Hold on. Click. Oh, over here. And then walking and going in, and she purposely traps herself. God damn it.
That's too funny. I thought the same thing.
So, yeah, sorry I had to bring out, you know, all the pop culture references, but like I did last week, but I had to bring them in. Last week was Aliens, this week's Jurassic Park, which I'm anticipating the new movie.
Nice.
Anyhow, the next one would be the tapes. I freeze framed when Alicia was looking at the tapes. There was definitely a tape there labeled Abraham/Doctor. Will we ever see this tape? And with that, that's usually anticipation of Abraham and Eugene. And there was also another tape that was initialed SD. Was, DS. Sorry. Slight dyslexia. DS. And I thought right away, Daniel Salazar. So I don't know. Who knows what who she's encountered, Althea, in her time and videotaped and forced interviewed to get whatever she wanted or to give them what they needed. But, there's a lot in there. And will we ever see these tapes?
Yeah, no, that's well, and like I didn't like see those tapes at first, like, or actually I didn't see them at all until you, like, I noticed your comment. And then, so like I went back and I didn't see, cause I even made a screwgram, like I saw the one where she, you know, went through the tapes when she realized that, you know, Madison was going to be, you know, on one of the tapes or whatever. And I like looked at it, blew it up, tried to figure out. I'm like, I didn't see that at all, you know. And it was just like, I won't go list them all, but you know, there was a whole bunch of different, all different interesting areas that, you know, I doubt we'll ever see. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, and then on The Talking Dead, you know, Chris Hardwick, you know, pulled that out, and I'm just like, wait a minute, like, no, I'm like, and I was kind of going back on, like, on my comment to you being like, where did you see that? I didn't see it. Like, you just saw it on Talking Dead, and that's the only reason.
No, I actually did, and yeah. I had a few people that I talked to on YouTube that found it, and they sent me the image, and they're like, hey, take a look, do the same thing. And I'm like, okay, you have a computer, take an image and then blow it up. And I'm like, okay. And I did.
Yeah. It's like, you know, must have been in an earlier scene. And I just, when I was rewatching and trying to go back and forth or whatever, I couldn't find that. But then I did see it online. And then I'm like, oh, okay. So yeah, it was there.
There was only three times that you saw that, the case that had the tapes in it. And there was one where you could actually see there was some light into it, and that was a previous episode. It was about two or three episodes ago.
Okay, so it wasn't okay. That's what I was saying in this episode. I was kind of like, wait a minute.
It's been there for a while. So apparently they implemented these Easter eggs in there for some reason. Whether or not they're what we're thinking, who knows?
Right. Well, I think that's just more of just like what Chris Hardwick said. It was just like, just nice little nods of like, hey, this universe does share, you know, the same realities, like characters or whatever. It's just whether or not we'll ever actually see them cross besides the Morgan thing. It is kind of fun to see, be like, you know what? Yeah, Abraham was making his trek, you know, with Eugene, and who knows exactly when she met, you know, ran to Rosita, but that was the whole Houston thing. So, so yeah, it's just kind of fun to see that, and I don't always get to catch those things because I don't get to rewatch it and like study every frame. So it's fun to like, you know, go back after it's been revealed. And then my other what sauce was just all the other stadium people, like when they were making a run for it, and then getting stuck surrounded by the walkers. Cause I was like, I guess the walkers were close by the time they tried to, you know, bolt and get out of there. But I mean, I'm pretty sure they could have still gotten away. This is me just thinking like, oh yeah, like in like science, you know, I'm going to pull that like in science, like you're in a car, there's all these movable objects around you. And if you slowly just move, like, wouldn't they just kind of start going other directions, and then maybe you could just keep going and just nudge them and then finally you could just like take off. But I don't know, I kind of was like, what, really? Because then we never see them die either. We just are being we're just told that they're gone, because in The Talking Dead they do the in memoriam, and they have Cole and the whatever you called them, you know, like the other people.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. I just felt, I mean, I don't know. It's, I guess it was just part of it. Like, yeah, like everything, just everybody died.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Anyways. All right. Well, that was the rest of our what sauce. So now it's on to feedback.
We can talk about it. Done talking. Time to listen.
All right. We'll go to our listeners' feedback. And our first one is from Todd. You want to take this, Mark?
Sure. Todd Schwartzberg gives, I feel kind of bad. I didn't really like this one. I mean, it tied the timelines together, but I didn't get why Kim was so dark in the beginning, or maybe I was just taken out of it because I didn't know where in time it was happening. Yeah, I think we all were. We didn't know if it was before or after until halfway through the conversation, I think. I really didn't think Al and Alicia should have been on opposite sides in the present timeline. I really phased out the whole Amina thing. I mean, I get that it was a way of bringing up the reveal that Al and Madison met, but was Amina a bird or a flying squirrel or something? Something that flies, that's all I got from what, rest in peace, Madison is all I have to say. You know, I've never seen Deadwood, and well, now I'm thinking I should. Or should I? Sorry, folks. This one didn't impress me. Glad John's going to be back okay.
Well, that's interesting to hear. Although we're glad John is going to be okay as
Same here.
The Amina thing. I guess if you, Todd, got to rewatch it or not. I mean, she did say it's like, oh, they caught a bird and they tried to, like,
nurse it to health.
Nurse it to health. Yeah. And so I could easily. If didn't catch it right off the bat, because I don't think she really necessarily talks about it all that, like, specifically bird. But anyways. All right. Well, next is Cheryl Fox. And she says, the trailer for Fear the Walking Dead's second half looks exciting. But I think the showrunner should have really thought hard before killing Madison off, especially after Frank Delane came to them wanting off. I would still love it if Madison got out of the stadium alive and showed up somewhere down the line, though it is doubtful. I agree with Claire that John, Morgan, Strand, June, Athea, Alicia, and even Luciana are strong enough to hold the show up, at least for the rest of the season, but they need to give Luciana something else to do. And how long do you think passing of time was for this half season? Was it several days from when the vultures came into the season to the end? That's a good question, because we don't have any concept of exactly how much time. All right, our next listener is Claire Lang Redderer. She says, I thought it did a good job of tying up all the loose ends. I really thought we would find out that Madison had been alive this whole time. I wish they had actually shown her die so that we could know for absolutely sure she's gone, because annoying conspiracy theorists will say otherwise. And that is true, but I think we can pretty much say that she is dead. All right, and then the next is Deanna Patterson. She had a lot to say, so we're going to kind of split this up. She starts off with, so both shows are losing lost major characters. Frowny face, frowny face, frowny face. Although Kim wasn't my favorite, it still was a shock to see her, or to see she is no longer with the show, especially after Nick's death. Now, I know why Alicia was on the rampage. Is she going to be able to go on, and is she truly going to forgive Charlie? Good question. No one should forgive Charlie. And then she goes on, and will we ever find out why she shot Nick, besides the obvious of him wanting to leave the show? I mean...
I really find that funny.
She goes, I mean, did she see the fight between him and the brother? That's a good
question. That is a good question.
Good question. Because that would make sense of why she would have shot him if she saw that. But again, they made her into this like ninja that would just pop up, you know, out of nowhere and disappear. And that firefight drove me nuts, because it's like, where the heck was she? You know, like, why did she leave the safety of Mel and then just appear, like, next to Luciana? Anyways.
Yeah. It was a bit odd.
She hid under a car or a dumpster.
All right. Do you want to continue with more?
Sure. She continues on. New character, Naomi / June / Gianna, was a good addition to the list. Looking forward to the story of her and John Dory. I think she meant June. So Naomi, June, Laura. I think she meant to say. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she was looking forward to the story of her and John Dory, which we all do. We want to see that flourish and mm-hmm. see where it goes. And hopefully they're both accepted in the small little group that's going on.
Yeah.
Or do they disperse? So and she adds, not feeling the new character, Al. Her and that damn camera was getting on my nerves. How and why in the hell are you in the middle of a shoot out and you are holding a camera recording it? A bunch of emojis that are...
They look like face plants or like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like face plant. Yeah. Oh my goodness. She doesn't know. Who does that? All she's worried about is recording people and everything. Now, I do understand the need to tell the story about, but damn, forcing people to talk on camera is just too much. I can understand if y'all are at a camp and sitting around a fire or somewhere somewhat safe, but during a shootout, no. And trading for people's stories by saying she will drive for help them is just selfish. Al is irritating. She kept trying to stick that camera in everybody's face.
And I had to agree because that's exactly like some of my points, you know, in previous episodes. I was like, what does she have? Like, she has no strength if that's all she... Oh, no. I won't give you anything unless you give me your story. Now sit here with the camera. And yeah, it was very kind of ridiculous. And, you know, yes, it served the purpose to the end of this midseason, but it was like, it seemed like there could have been other ways to handle this that would have made it more interesting, but they didn't do that.
Yeah, they like interrogating reportive characteristics.
Like, she could have come up with that story that she told Madison about the warlord, like, to Alicia and them whenever she was like, no, this is why I need your story, or, you know, or something. You know, there was, she just kind of was all like, yeah, it came off very just like,
yeah. Did she work for Greenpeace? Did she work for CNN? Was she an on-roll reporter? Who knows? We still have to know more about her character and where she came from, her past, and what she did. You know, there was a whole bunch, you know, even in the Prime show, they brought up, you know, if you look at it, Andrea had a backstory. Apparently, she was within law. And Dale brings that up, saying that, oh, you were in law and you know two different sides and now you're doing this. You want to just shoot people or you want the gun. That's not who you are. So where is Althea's story? And obviously, these people don't know her from Adam. You know, they don't know her at all. So eventually, we're going to have to learn who she is, why she does these things, because obviously it's a trait from her past. Whereas Andrea, when the show was running, and her character, she just did not, you know, show those traits. She just continued on or tried to survive as it was. So why is Al holding on to the past? And that's really what the recording is. It's trying to capture what had happened in the past to document a story, or maybe I'm just spelling it out what, you know, the showrunners want for this character. But what's her end game? What's going to happen to her in the end? Is somebody going to record her death?
Well, and that's the thing, though. Like, we should have been given a little bit more of, like, what her story is, not just what everybody else's story is, because otherwise, I'm not going to really care about her anymore. You know, I wouldn't care, like, she's still there. Like, why is she still alive? She's like, there's nothing interesting about her other than she, you know, met Madison before everybody, and blah, 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 you know, like, whatever. Now it's kind of, you know, that's where I think a lot of stuff kind of got dropped in this first half of the season, was either they were just trying to do too much too fast, and, you know, it's like we just didn't get enough time to actually really care too much about these people or what was going on or like what led them to those things. And anyway, so I guess we will see. I don't like saying that. I just like, oh, I guess we'll see next half. But to continue on, Dieta, says, overall, decent episode. Sad to see some of the favorites or regulars leave to pursue other interests. Sad face, sad face, sad face. And what was this big fascination with the little girl, Charlie? She came in with a lie to help the vultures take down the camp. She would be the last person, in my opinion, who I would be worried about saving. I know you guys probably discussed this already, but why, when they saw the first truck roll up on the camp, did they not try to take out the drivers or the passengers or just shoot the trucks leaving the gasoline path? And with the other trucks pulling up to let out the walkers, why wasn't there a rapid gunfire to prevent them from letting out the dead? They just literally just sat there and watched all this play out.
Good question.
That's like, yeah. And some grumpy faces or scowls? Yeah. I don't know. This season just rushed to move us to the new character's location without answering any questions with a lot of bad decisions. My rating for the season overall is 5 out of 10. And I have to kind of, I have to agree with some of that. What I was just saying was kind of, they could have done this a little differently and it would have made a more impactful story. I was okay with it. Kind of, I was just like, I'll just go with it. And there were some good parts, but, you know, I would have to say, though, the what we've seen of the next half of the season, you know, from the trailer, I kind of have a little bit of a nervous feeling when I see walkers being blown around in a storm. Like, I just kind of took, like,
is this Sharknado or is it Zednado?
No, exactly. It is Zednado. And I think there was like an article or like, the showrunners had mentioned something that, like, cause they were asking, like, who's the next protagonist, you know? And they're like, well, you know, they kind of jumped around it, but all I got from it was like, they were saying like, oh, but Mother Nature is going to have an impact. So I don't know. I don't want the whole next eight episodes to be like, oh, this one, a tornado comes. And then next week there's a flood. And then like, oh, the next week lightning strikes and it causes a forest fire. You know, I'm like, better not be.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And then you'll see David Hasselhoff come out and say, I know how to take care of this.
Well, I mean, they're in Texas, so I was kind of like, okay, what? There's going to be like this massive like stampede of rattlesnakes, and they're all like, oh no! like they're like hiding in their little mansion that Strand's drunk in, and there's just all these like snakes everywhere, and they're like doing like Indiana Jones swinging from the ceiling trying to get away. So I don't know. Well, I hope not. I just, you know, it's fun to see those kind of things, just if it doesn't make it as that's the whole story.
Yeah, no zombie armadillos, please.
Yes, no. All right. Well, that was all that Dieta had to say and the rest of our listeners' feedback. So now it's on to ours. Mark, you want to go with yours?
Yeah, I was more upset that the new showrunners are basically changing the show. It's becoming a new story with new people. Well, I like new people. Not to pun, you know, Althea, but we got John Dory, Morgan's new, and obviously Althea. But Will we see Strand die soon? I really hope not. I really don't want that. I like him. And what will become of Alicia? Is she going to be the new Madison? Is she going to step forward, take charge now that she's been given some sort of hope from Morgan? The show seems to be renewing or re-envisioning of what it was. It's like they ended that story of the Strands and their pursuit of a family. Now that Madison and Nick are gone, all that's left of the Strands is literally Alicia. And then we have, Strands. I keep saying Strands. Clarks. Oh my God. Where am I? So, all right, the Clarks. You got Madison Clark and you got Nick Clark gone. So all you have of the Clarks is Alicia. So all you have is Alicia and Strand, from the original group, and Luciana. Who knows? Did Luciana really marry Nick? We don't know. But, I have a funny feeling we're going to see Luciana be dispatched.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have this really weird feeling that we're not going to see her gone, you know, any longer. She's going to go away. But, my feeling is that, you know, this is going on and they're just slowly getting rid of the older cast. There's a lot within the older cast. And I see it in Alicia. A lot of people don't like Alicia, but I think there's more that they could do with the character that she could grow with. And as well as Strand. I really like Strand. So, Luciana could go on the wayside and hopefully they'll pick up somebody, but I doubt they'll pick up Daniel Salazar walking in Texas from wherever they were before. But, you know, somebody, you know, I watched YouTube and I watch all these things. Somebody said, oh, they could bring, I was like, they've already done that twice. You know, they brought him in the very beginning and then they brought him back again after we thought he was dead.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, is he the Terminator? Does he keep coming back? I'll be back. You know, no. You know, how is that going to work with Morgan? It's like, oh, I have hope. and Daniel will be like, I had to torture. You know, I don't see it happening. So I think Daniel is pretty much written off. As much as I love Ruben Blades, I don't know. It's to me, I think we're left with the final three from the original first three seasons. And then we have the new three for this new season itself as a new story. So who is dispatched, we'll find out. But I really don't want to see Strand or Alicia go out of those three.
Out of those three, yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I'll just go with mine. It was just finding out, like, Kim Dickens didn't want to leave. And that the showrunners decided to kill her off. And to me, that seemed like a very weird decision. You know, it's like the back half better than have a good story now that we're left with just basically our three original casts, you know. But, you know, it's like I kind of had trouble because, I mean, in some sense, I mean, this would be something that would happen in, like, the real zombie apocalypse, like, just in real life. Like, you know, you might start off with your family or friends, you know, but people would get, would get killed. You know, you'd lose your camp and have to, like, go somewhere else and, like, join up or whatever, you know, or just go alone to survive. But, you know, this is a TV show. And so, like, that's why you had the characters like Madison, Nick, Alicia, you know, the Clarks, Travis. You know, that was what the show was originally created, like, around. And now it's like, I guess they, you know, because, you know, The Walking Dead's kind of doing its own little kind of a reboot now that we know that, you know, I mean, they killed off Carl. And Andrew Lincoln is predicted to basically he's leaving the show as well. And, you know, it's like, I'm wondering, are they just going about this show as more about people just surviving the apocalypse and not really rebuilding a society? Because I know the comic, that's kind of where it leads to, or like is kind of a lot more, you know, focused on now, especially now that I know it's been going on for a long time. So it's like, I don't know, that's at least The Walking Dead was more about that kind of arc with Carl and Rick. And then when they decided to do the spinoff, it was like, oh no, but we're going to do something different. That's more of like this family dynamic of like, you know, multiple people and like, you know, two separate families that, you know, join up, you know. So it's like now that they're kind of cutting that all off with the decision to get rid of Madison, it's, and then, you know, they bring Morgan in. And so I'm starting to really wonder if they are heading into some kind of a merge of both shows. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there because, you know, they brought Morgan or Lenny James over to boost the ratings of Fear. And now that they killed off basically the lead, you know, of the show, you know, and now that basically leaves Morgan as being pretty much the lead of the show, you know, like, are they going to end up at some point where whoever survives from Fear, and then I'm assuming Morgan probably would basically then end up leading them back to Alexandria.
Oh my goodness.
And then, you know, because then AMC could have their one big show to hug it. And I was like, $$$, squeeze it, $, and call it George, and lots of dollar signs.
Well, I want to bring up something that's pretty funny that came to my mind earlier this week when I was looking at old comics. And I was looking at the Walking Dead and when they introduced Magna. And when you look at Magna, she looks a lot like Alicia. But apparently, and that's just me who likes to investigate certain things, apparently they've already casted a character for Magna, or an actor for Magna. So whether or not we see her in season 9 of The Walking Dead itself, the Prime show, I don't know. But, you know, the first thing I thought, I was like, wait a minute, Alicia does look a lot like Magna, but I doubt they would do that. And that would be way too soon. That would mean that they would have to get rid of and dispatch Fear of the Walking Dead completely after the end of the season. So I don't think so. I think they're going to try to hold on to this, you know, like you were saying, the family dynamic, and then they kind of destroyed it. But are they trying to create it where it's a kind of a different kind of family? Right, yeah, yeah, like with The Walking Dead, they all became family. Look, that right. You know, Rick says to Daryl, "You're my brother." Now, yeah, and of yeah. course, now they're at odds. But you know, they were able to group together and create their own family. Now, this was an original family that kind of broke down. So the Clarks broke down. You lost Travis. Travis lost his ex-wife, his son. Then eventually we lost Nick. Now we lost Madison. Mm-hmm. So the original formal family has been destroyed. Now they're creating a new style of a family. What? Charlie's going to be the kid of the group? you know, what? John Dory and June are going to be the parents, yeah. and take care of her while Alicia is the crazy aunt and Strand's the drunk uncle and Morgan's the crazy grandfather who likes to talk a lot. I who knows? But, you know, hopefully they'll move and motivate the stories and develop the characters in a certain way where it's going to go somewhere. And with you stating that they might move it, I would not be surprised, because there was talks of another sideshow for the Walking Dead, but whether or not that goes into fruition, who knows? And right. I wouldn't. And I thought about this come the end of season 3, because the showrunners were leaving and they were putting Gimple in charge. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to merge that. And there's talks online about, hey, oh, Rick might be going to Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, I know.
I hardly, what? Oh, I miss Morgan, so I'm going to go search for him. No. I don't what? I'm going
to. He wants to do other projects, not.
Yeah.
He's been on this show for so long.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's at that age, and he didn't you know, the idea of doing it for a long time was there. And then with everybody who has family, especially an actor, they want to branch out and do other things. They want to do theater. They want to, you know, Danai Gurira already has, she's done, something for Broadway. Yes. She's already done a Marvel film.
Mm-hmm.
And she's working on something else that I heard recently. It could have been an independent film. And then on top of that, she's got her duties to be in The Walking Dead. But, you know, how do you spread yourself so thin? And then with Andrew, he has children. He's married, and he lives all the way out in England, where Danai lives in the United States. And if you look at Coleman Domingo, he's already done something. He did the Donna Summer Broadway play that's on now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm interested in that. I'm curious about that. You know, I wasn't a fan of disco as a kid, but I'm curious. But he's able to do, you know, be creative and do his own thing as well as work within this show that he's doing now for Fear. So it doesn't surprise me that if they rid Andrew Lincoln, and we're going back to that right again of like, what's going to happen? It's either Rick's going to walk off out in the world, and I don't think he's going to leave Judith. I'm pretty sure he's going to walk away with Judith.
Would you? Yeah.
And then it would leave Michonne, unless Michonne decides to leave at the same time, because there was talks about, you know, Danai Gurira wanting to leave at certain points. But whether or not they're keeping that hushed, we don't know. And then we also know the obvious that Lauren Cohan is there.
Right.
But there's three possibilities. Rick and Maggie get into a scuffle. Daryl's there in the middle of it. One shoots the other, and then Daryl dispatches the other in the process. And then Judith becomes an orphan. Or, like I said, and somebody said, oh, then Maggie and Rick would walk off in the sunset with Judith. And I'm like, I don't think there's that much love there. You know, there's all these things. But how the writers come about with it will be interesting, because that's what's going to keep us captivated. Those who've been there from day one from The Walking Dead at, you know, what was it? October 30th. What was it? Halloween? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was Halloween. 2010. Yeah.
And I remember because I watched it and I stayed up, and then they had it in black and white afterwards, and they didn't do that afterwards for a long time. But, you know, I've been there since day one. I'm sorry. You invest that much time in a show, you want to see it through, see it to the end, or the time that they take it off.
Mm-hmm.
But, With this show, I was very much attracted to it because of the original show, and I wanted to see it progress. Originally, I heard that it was supposed to be, okay, this is happening before The Walking Dead, and it's own, you know, independent show, which would be great because it's an original story. It starts at the very beginning of the apocalypse. And now we've already streamlined it where with the showrunners, they're going to move it ahead to meet up with the Prime show. Now, the Prime show is going to do a time jump too, but it's not going to be as excessive.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know if this time right now is at the same time where it progresses, and then the mid-season goes into where the Prime show is currently in season 9.
Right, right.
So yeah. We don't know if there's that where they've been on the road for like a year, because from what I'm hearing, everything is happening within at least a year and a half for the Prime show when they time jump. But that's not a spoiler. It's just hearsay, but it makes sense from what I've been hearing. So in a comic book, it was 3 years. I don't think they're going to go that far.
Yeah.
But if they do a crossover in a sense where, let's say, Morgan says, hey, let's travel, I know a group, and things get bad, it wouldn't surprise me. And if they decided to end Fear, it'd be upsetting in some ways for me, because we had two shows at different ends of the worlds. Like, okay, it starts off in October for, you know, right, Walking right, Dead, yeah. and it ends off and starts Fear. Hopefully they'll keep that tradition going and they create the story, but I give it at least a season or so until they actually do merge.
Yeah, no, that's kind of how I felt too. It's like, I mean, they'll still try to do, you know, I mean, that's the thing. This universe has so much to offer in stories and like groups and things, you know? So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they could do. It's just whether or not they can keep it up or not screw it up.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like, we'll see. I'm still hopeful. I mean, I'm still obviously going to watch it and still podcast about it. And hopefully, you know, ratings will stay the same. All right. Well, let's just go into news, ratings, and info.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
All right. Well, the ratings that we have for Fear the Walking Dead, this episode was 0.73 out of the 18 to 49 with the 2.320 million viewers versus 0.60 18 to 49 demo and 1.971 million viewers last week. So it looks like it definitely gained a lot more. Stayed roughly, I guess, similar or the same. And I guess Talking Dead was a 0.20 in the 1849 with 742,000 viewers versus 0.1318 last week's at 515,000 viewers last week.
So it dropped.
Yeah, like about 200 or yeah, close to 200,000. I have to agree, though, like if it wasn't for my DVR, like having like what's the show after it that's been going Badlands or like there's always whatever the show that comes on after it and I never watch it.
Yeah.
That, I mean, if yeah, by that point, once the show's over, I'm like, I don't want to wait another hour. Like I'm either going to bed or I'm like, you know, that's it. So them AMC choosing to do that, I'm definitely am not a fan of, and I don't think they should be doing that. They should.
It's forcing us to watch a show that we don't want to see.
Right, which is going to make no one want to watch Talking Dead the same night. Just record it, and then I'll deal with it the next day.
I'll say it, AMC, a lot of us Walking Dead fans don't like Into Sadlands.
Yeah.
And
so stop it.
And for news, Kim Dickens. Her on Talking Dead stated, there's talks and I think there's something in progress on Deadwood coming back.
Was it the show or was it a movie?
Deadwood was a show on HBO.
But I mean, was she talking about they're doing a Deadwood movie?
Possibly movie. I'm thinking movie at this point. Because there was a lot of loose ends, supposedly, according to a lot of the fan base that I've heard. Apparently, a lot of people were not happy with the way it ended.
It ended?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought she said movie, but I...
You're probably right, and I'm wrong.
Well, either way, let's go back and you can watch The Talking Dead. Or I'm sure it's already out there, yeah. Already broadcasted and newsed. So,
and to clear up some issues from last episode, yes, people, Brian corrected me, and the story that was a one-off for Skybound that Robert Kirkman was pretty much a producer of and had somebody else write. It was a one-off comic that was free online for download, and it was about Rick Grimes' brother, and apparently Rick Grimes' brother was in Barcelona.
Oh.
So that's where that story was based. And it was a one-off comic. You could pay whatever you wanted to. You could even download it for free at that time. I don't know if it's still available out there.
It could be.
But... yeah, but it was an interesting comic to read. It was a one-off. It would have been nice to actually see an actual episode just based upon that or a two-hour episode. but they probably didn't want to. And even though AMC will have the rights to it, it would be nice to actually see how it is and how it happened in another country where somebody who's an American is trapped and he doesn't really speak the language too well. And seeing what happens with that.
I would want to watch that.
Yeah, same here.
All right. Well, that was all the news, or Andrew Lincoln news.
Andrew Lincoln news. It's still veneer. We don't know.
To be continued.
To be continued, and I'm sure Brian has a lot more to say.
Yeah. All right. Well, then to submit your feedback, your theories, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio, or use the SpeakPipe widget. Call 304-837-2278. Or like most people, post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and you can find that at www.facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm. They announced it. It was like Sunday, August 12th is when season four, episode nine, will air. And so the deadline for submitting feedback for that next episode will be Tuesday, April 14th at 6 p.m., 5 p.m. Central. But of course, depending on how things roll from here till now, we might have another, feedback episode. And since Brian wasn't, he wasn't able to join us tonight, but I think we definitely are going to have another episode here, soon, and get him on board, because I'm sure, I know he had a lot to say about this episode, about the season, and we will definitely be discussing that here sometime soon in the future. But otherwise, Tuesday after the episode air is usually when our deadline is. And also, you can follow us on Twitter at Walking Dead GSM.
To support us, the best way you can support us is by subscribing to us in Apple Podcasts, goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple. While you're there, give us a rating or a review.
And you can find out all the other ways to support GSM at www.goldenspiralmedia.com/support. All right. So where else can you be listened to, Mark? I know you have a podcast.
Yeah, I do. You could find me on the Panels to Pixels podcast. We could be found on the Next Level Network podcast. And, right now we're in the middle of Jessica Jones and, hopefully moving on to another show. We're not sure exactly which. But we'll be wrapping that up, and episodes will be on the way. Brian could also be heard on the Star Trek Discovery podcast through Golden Spiral Media as well.
And so next, the next episode, obviously they haven't, not that I could find, and I just actually checked the website, but it's going to be the Season 4, Episode 9. It'll be Sunday, August 12th. We don't have a description. We don't have who's written by or directed by. Maybe some of that might come out before we record our next show. But until then, that's all we can go on. So until next time, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everyone.
Good night.